We are currently in between series, and last week we learned a lesson from four lepers, and they showed us the need to go and tell the good news, and their situation served as a great illustration for the world that we live in today. First thing we saw was a desperate problem. They were hopelessly headed for death, just as all those who are lost and undone without Christ. Then we saw a divine plan. God promised miraculous provision. And all through Scripture, we find God's plan of salvation revealed, prepared, and then executed, right? And then we've seen the third thing, a delightful provision. God provided more than they needed to solve their problems. Jesus' death on the cross was more than sufficient to save whosoever will. And then the fourth thing we saw was a dutiful proposition. The lepers found God's provision of salvation and couldn't keep it to themselves. They said, we do not well. Today is a day of good tidings. We have to go tell. And so they went and proclaimed to the city. And because of them telling all of the people what God had done, many people were rescued. Many people were saved. And for us, whenever we find salvation, whenever we are born again into the family of God, we can't keep it to ourselves. We need to go out and tell other people about the God who loves us and who saves us. Okay. And so today we're going to be going in a different direction, and we're going to be in a book that I frequently reference but rarely preach from. Okay. We're going to be in the book of Psalms. Psalms is the Hebrew hymnal. Not sure if you guys realize that or not. Originally, all of these were songs. And if we read them today, they don't really sound very melodious. Is that the right word? They don't sound much like songs, but they would have been in the Hebrew language. And many of the psalms were sung at specific times as part of the temple services or as part of the feasts and things throughout the year. They had psalms that they would traditionally sing as they were coming into the Feast of Passover. They were ascending on Jerusalem and things. They had different ones that they would sing during different festivals or different sacrifices that were offered up. And so they cover the full range of human emotion. They record times of praise and times of victory, and they also cry out to God in times of desperation. They are all from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. Something interesting for me in the book of Psalms is how many of them start off extremely low and end very high. We can see a shift. It's been said that King David seemed sometimes bipolar because he would start off almost depressed and end up rejoicing just in the progress of one song. And it shows us the effect that it can have on us just to change our direction, change our perspective that we're looking in. Because whenever David would start, he was looking at his circumstances, and throughout the progression of the song, he would begin to look to his God, and by the end, we see him singing praise to God oftentimes. And anyways, I thought on what I should preach today. My mind kept going back to one topic, and it's one that is seen over and over and over in the book of Psalms, and it's the topic of thankfulness. And maybe part of the reason why my mind keeps going back to this is last week in the States, it was Thanksgiving week. Y'all know that? And so I was seeing everybody's posts and everything. And so I was just thinking on Thanksgiving. And there's something extremely important about thankfulness and something that I figure that we all struggle with from time to time. It is easy to get wrapped up in our lives, or be wrapped up in our circumstances, all the trials and testings and troubles and all of the things that we must do, that we rarely take time to step back and be thankful for the things that God has done. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, let's look at Psalm 95. I'll give you a second there because I didn't tell you what chapter we were on. Psalm 95. Just a short psalm with 11 verses here, but we're going to go ahead and read it all. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. That's about all I'm doing this morning, isn't it? Making noise. Anyway, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the God, or the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Unto them I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the time and the fellowship that we've already spent with one another. We thank you for the truths that we've looked at from your word. Thank you for the songs and for the praises, Lord. And we just pray now as we look back to your word once again that you would help us in these truths that's before us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to bring out these thoughts about thanksgiving and about gratitude. And Lord, I just pray you do the needed work in the hearts of each person here today. Help us, Lord, just to detach ourselves from this world for just a little bit, to drive away the distractions and things. We've got so much that is going on in our lives from day to day, but help us, Lord, just to depart from it for just a little while and come in here and focus our attention on you and on your goodness and on your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just fill me with your spirit, Lord. I pray that you'd speak through me and use me as a willing vessel. And Lord, I just pray that you would keep back anything that I shouldn't say and help me to say the things, Lord, that are helpful. I pray, Lord, you'd be with each person here, Lord. I know there's so much going on, and I just pray that for just a little while, our focus would be on you. Lord, be with those who aren't with us due to work, to sickness, to travel, and different things. And Lord, be with this community of Longford. Help us, Lord, just to be able to be a great witness for you in the place which we live. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever we think about thankfulness, have you ever considered how you respond to ingratitude? Whenever someone is ungrateful, what does it do to you? You ever been somewhere and maybe held the door for someone and they didn't even acknowledge you were there? You want to push them back through it and like slam the door shut in front of them again, like open your own door? Driving down the road and you let somebody in traffic in front of you, or maybe let them cross in front of you and they don't even wave, don't even acknowledge you did that. Is that a pet peeve for some people? Like they walk across the road, they don't even look at you. And it's like, okay, I do not recommend. Anyway, we know what it's like to do something for someone and then be ungrateful. We know how that feels in ourselves. Yeah. But let us turn this around for just a minute. Can you think of times that you've been ungrateful? We all can, right? It's a lot less fun to think of, though, and we know that we struggle with being unthankful sometimes. In this passage, it lets us know that it is a choice for us to be thankful and that it is a good choice. Did you notice as we were reading that it associates singing and joy with Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. And we usually don't make that association, but the most joyful people that you will find are often going to be the ones who are the most thankful. Yes. And the most miserable people that you will find will be the ones who are the least thankful. And that's not a coincidence. And so if we would like a little bit more joy in our lives, I think one of the best ways to get to that is to practice Thanksgiving, to practice gratitude, to practice thankfulness. And so anyway, we're going to look today at how we can be more thankful and therefore how we can be more joyful. Okay, everybody on board? Okay, so the first thing I want us to look at here is that we must recognize our blessings. We must recognize our blessings. There's a saying that you find what you look for. You're going to see what you focus on. If you go looking for bad things, you're going to find bad things. If you go looking for problems, you're going to find problems. But also, if you focus on good things, you're going to find good as well. It's all a matter of where we're focusing, where our eyes are, what we're looking for. If you focus on what you don't have, you're going to find things that you need, right? And so we're going to find that whenever we don't look for our blessings, when we don't recognize our blessings, it's going to contribute to our longing. It's going to contribute to our lust. It's going to contribute to us being miserable. When you don't realize the things you have, you focus on the things that you don't, and you're constantly hungering, you're constantly thirsting, you're constantly desiring, and you're never satisfied. Mm-hmm. But whenever we turn that around and we start looking at the things that we do have, when we start looking at the things that God has blessed us with, the things that we have been provided, the things in our life that is going right, okay? That makes it a whole different story, doesn't it? And so if we will look at just a few biblical examples of people who failed badly by focusing on the wrong things, we can see in the garden, the serpent turned Eve's eyes on the one tree that was off limits. And this is something I've brought out oftentimes, but if you consider God made all things, all creation perfect, told Adam and Eve, you have dominion over it. Basically, do with it what you will, just don't eat off of this one tree. And then all of a sudden, that one tree is what she could not take her eyes off of. She wasn't satisfied with everything else God had blessed her with, everything else God had given her. The problem became the one tree she couldn't have. And so that's what she focused on. And it drew her in, and it basically drew all men into sin because of it, right? We can see that the Israelites were delivered from bondage, and they were led by God. They were provided for daily, yet they complain constantly. It kind of irks me as I read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, because you find God walking with Israel. You find him there as a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. He's raining down manna. There's times that he brings in quails. He causes all of the surrounding nations to be afraid of them and won't attack them. The ones that he does allow to attack him, he defeats them soundly. Right?
Yeah.
He is with them. He's taking care of them. They have everything. And then what do? They long for the days they were back in Egypt in bondage. They said, we long for the days of the onions and the leeks and the garlics in Egypt. Is that weird to you guys? I mean, I like onions and garlic as well as anyone, but if it was onions, leeks, and slavery, or manna and quail and freedom, which one are you guys choosing? And so they said onions, leeks, and garlic while they were eating angels' food, right? And so it was a matter of where their focus and their attention was, where their heart was. We can see Ahab, he had, of course, wicked King Ahab. He had the entire kingdom. He was the most powerful man in the land. He had great wealth at that time, maybe not that of Solomon and David. But then there was Naboth had a vineyard. And he lost his mind because he couldn't have that one vineyard, although he had everything else. We can go back to David and see all of the women he had, all of the power he had, but he wanted Bathsheba.
Yes.
It caused him a lot of problems. We can look at Judas. He walked with Jesus. I mean, look at the relationship that he had with God and sold him for 30 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are kind of heavy things for me to be bringing out, but we see that what we focus on is going to determine whether we are going to be joyful, whether we're going to be satisfied, whether we're going to be happy with our lot in life, or we're going to be miserable and longing and lusting. And so if we recognize the blessings that we have, if we look at the things that God has done for us, if we look at the good things in our life, they are going to minimize the troubles and the trials that we face. And then inversely, if we focus on the troubles and the trials and the lack, it's going to minimize the blessings. Okay, if we turn over to Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8, I think a pretty familiar passage of scripture. But Philippians 4, 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so we have a whole list here of good things to be thinking on, focusing on the right things, looking at our blessings, right? It says to be thinking on the things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy, focusing on blessings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a choice that we can make. We have a choice where we're going to spend our time, our energy, our thought life on, and whether it is positive or negative. And so I think for us to cultivate thankfulness in our lives, it's going to be good for us to take stock of that which we do have, of the things that we have been given, the things that we've been blessed with, the things that we enjoy, the positives in our lives, right? Most of the time we think on what we want, what we don't have, what we struggle with, and rarely we think on the blessings. I will tell you, just out of all honesty here, most of my mental faculties is spent on negative things. That's just kind of my bent, is I'm bent more toward the negative. And that's not a good thing, okay? But that's the way I'm bent. But it doesn't mean that we have to settle for that. It doesn't mean that we have to say, that's just the way that I am. But we have a choice where we allow our minds to focus on. Yes. Whether we are going to think on those things that are praiseworthy, the things that are virtuous, or the things that are problematic. Mm-hmm. I know that there's been times even that I have prayed for things, okay? We take out prayer requests. We talk about pray for this and pray for that. There's been things that I've prayed for. God has answered my prayer, and then I didn't even take the time to stop and recognize that it was answered. Mm-hmm. I didn't even take the time to thank God for what he had done for me. There's been times, even silly prayers, sometimes I'm working on something and it's like, God, help me with this. And then I come through it, I'm out the other side, things are going well, and I never even take a moment to recognize that the thing that I prayed for, God had given me. And so we have to recognize the good things in our lives. And so I think it'd be a good exercise, if you will, if you find some time this week, okay? So here's homework for you. If you find some time this week, and sit down and just think through your blessings. Mm-hmm. Think through the things that you have. Take an inventory, if you will, of the good things in your life. Bonus points if you actually sit down and write them out. Mm-hmm. Because you'll find that as you begin doing that, it'll be difficult at first.
Yes.
And then as you start writing them out, or as you start thinking through them, more will come and more will come and more. Mm-hmm. And you will find out that you have lots of things to be thankful for.
Yes.
That there is a lot more positives in your life than there is negatives in your life. Mm-hmm. But we tend to focus on the negatives. And so the first thing I said, recognize our blessings. Second thing, realize their source. Okay? A lot of times we spend our time in looking at things or looking at benefits, but we don't see where they come from. We constantly have things in our life that we enjoy. Constantly we have benefits and blessings that we enjoy, but we rarely ever think about what goes into making those possible. We can think, for instance, of, I'll use Melody as an example, okay? Melody is constantly cared for. She is constantly receiving all sorts of things from me and from Les and from her sisters, whether it's actual objects, toys and different things, the food that she consumes, the time that people spend with her, and all of those things that she receives, she expects. Right?
Yeah.
Children are notoriously ungrateful. I will say that Melody does oftentimes express gratitude, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we know how children can be ungrateful. How they just expect, okay? It doesn't matter how busy mom is. It doesn't matter what mom's doing. Mom has to drop everything whenever Melody has a need, okay? And that's just taken for granted. The food that she eats and the clothes that she wears and all the things that she has, those are just part of being Melody. She just deserves those things. She just receives those things with no thought whatsoever into what goes into providing those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it goes all the way through. And I'm not going to use my older children as examples. Okay. They don't like that. And they can be thankful for that. Anyway. But as we think about all of the blessings in our life, there is a source. There's somewhere that they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would take and put a name, put a person, put a source onto the things that we have, what has gotten me to the place that, or who has gotten me to the place that I am, who has poured into my life, who has given me things, who has brought goodness into my life, who can I thank for the things that I have? I think it's a good thing for us to realize the source of our blessings. Trace it back to a person. Okay? And something that's good about that, I said that whenever we don't recognize our blessings, then that promotes lust and longing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But whenever we don't trace it back to a person, it promotes loneliness.
Yes.
Because whenever we don't see all the other people that we are connected with, whenever we think that we are in it by ourselves, that all of these things are just things in our life, all of the events are just events in our life, and we don't connect that to a person, that lack of connection makes it a pretty lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, ungrateful people often are lonely people.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you don't see what other people do in your life and how beneficial and important other people are to your life, it is a lonely existence. Mm-hmm. And so we need to realize the source. But I think ultimately the source of all blessings is God. Mm-hmm. And that's where we really need to get back to. In James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift descends from above from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. Every blessing that you have is a result of a holy and perfect God that loves you and is willing to give even whenever you don't acknowledge Him. That's an amazing thing. In Psalm chapter 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Yes. And so there's Bible for you. He daily loads you with benefits. And I think it's usually the daily benefits that we overlook.
Yeah, you're right.
The fact that we have our health, we have our strength, we have the ability to rise out of bed of a morning, we have clothes to put on, a bed to sleep in, a house to sleep in, a warm place, praise God for that, right? Mm-hmm. That we have our family, that we have, you know, our children, that we have our church family, that we have safety, that we have security, that we have the things that we have every day and we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And it all comes back to God. He is the one that daily loads us with benefits. You know, all the wonderful people in our lives, He put them in the place where you are and He caused your path to cross.
Yes.
That's something that we've often mused at as a church because we are from all different places in this world. I mean, we represent several continents, right?
Yeah.
And there's been times that we've had people from almost every continent. And it's how in the world do our paths cross in Longford, Ireland?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And God brings us together, and I'm thankful for every one of you. I'm thankful for the people that God has brought into our lives the way that He's caused our paths to cross. But it's not by anything that we have done intentionally, but it is things that God has worked together.
Exactly.
If we look at the job that we have, God gave you the brains and He gave you the ability.
Yes.
The food that you eat, the house you live in, the car that you drive, the air that you breathe, your children, your spouse, your health. If it wasn't for God's blessings, you'd have none of it.
Yes.
And so all these things come back to God and we realize how good God is to us. Even with all its flaws because of sin, the world is a pretty great place. I'm glad for the way that God has made things. And we can see His love, His benevolence on us because of the way that He has provided, because of the goodness, the beauty, the comfort that He has given us in the place that we live. And so whenever we ignore God and we think that we did all of this, that it's all because of our efforts, it's a huge problem for us. Because what it ends up doing is it leaves everything up to us. That's a lot of pressure. It's all on us to figure out. It's all on us to make it happen. Have you ever noticed that man has a tendency to take credit for all the good things and to blame God for all the bad? That's everywhere. Even you talk to lost people and they'll blame God for every ill of society, but anything good that's going on, they'll credit man for it.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the bad things that are going on are a result of people disobeying God. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And God could return and say, if you would have just done what I said in my word, that wouldn't have happened to you. And so recognize our blessings, realize their source. Third thing we have is to respond with thankfulness. Because we can take all of these things and have a mental understanding of them. We can say, okay, I have all these great things in my life. Yes, there's all these great people that have contributed. Yes, God has given me all this. And so, yeah, I'm blessed. But how do you respond to that? You can't just internalize that. There has to be some point in time that there is an external action associated with it. There is no thankfulness until it is acted upon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Inward gratitude doesn't really do much good, does it?
Mm-hmm.
And so praise is a reasonable and appropriate response whenever we are blessed. Simply put, thankfulness should result in a thank you. That's simple enough, isn't it?
Yes.
Whenever we are blessed, we should be responding to that blessing. There's something powerful in expressing gratitude, both to you as the expressor, and also to the one you express it to.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you are expressing gratitude, You are identifying the thing that you are grateful for. You are identifying its source, where it came from. You are bringing attention to it. You are causing yourself to have to think about it and to recognize it. That's a great thing, isn't it? Because a lot of times we just take them for granted. But it also makes the person who you express gratitude to feel appreciated. Back to my original illustration of whenever you hold the door for someone or you let someone across in traffic. If every time you do that, you receive no gratitude, you know what you're going to end up doing as a response? You're going to quit doing that. If every time I hold the door, someone just goes past me and doesn't even acknowledge it, I won't quit holding doors. But see, whenever we have a grateful heart, when we express thanksgiving to people, it encourages people to do things that are thankworthy, right? I can take this and bring it to an example, and maybe this is one that will come back and bite me, I don't know. But whenever it comes to parents and children, if all we ever do is gripe to our children and point out the things that they do wrong, that's not encouraging, is it? But whenever we acknowledge the things that they do right, it encourages them to continue doing more things right. And it works that way with our spouses. It works that way with all of our relationships, doesn't it?
Yes.
You reward the behaviors that you want. And that's a side note anyway. That's for free. So we respond in thanksgiving. Whenever we are blessed, we recognize it. We recognize its source. And we thank the person who it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I believe we should consciously seek to give thanks for the blessings that we receive both to men and to God. Make thank you a natural part of your daily vocabulary, recognizing the blessings that you receive, because it marks it in your mind, it forces you to take notice, and it keeps us from taking the blessings and the blesser for granted. I also think whenever God blesses you, it's good to thank Him privately in prayer. Usually whenever I pray, I begin with thanksgiving. Let us enter into His presence with thanksgiving. I don't like to be formulaic about prayer, but I think it's good to recognize the good that He's already given before we ask Him for more. But I also think that it's even better to thank Him publicly. That's one reason why I often ask for testimonies and praises, because if God has done things for us, it is good for us to thank Him and to praise Him before people. Did you notice in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." The emphasis there on us. They are coming together corporately, and they are praising God together. They are thanking God together. They are joining together to glorify the God that created them, that blesses them, that provides for them. Let us enter into His presence with thanksgiving. And so I think there is a need for us to share our blessings, because it acknowledges them from God. It helps us to count our many blessings, as the song says. But it also encourages one another, because whenever we say what God has done for us, it shows others that God is at work, that He is real, that He is able, and it encourages them to continue depending on Him in their lives. We draw strength from one another whenever we say what God has done. So others can rejoice with you. Others can be encouraged. The fourth thing that we have, being thankful helps us to rely on God's care. Being thankful helps us to rely on God's care. In Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." He says, because I have recognized how good God is to me, all the blessings I've received of Him, I can lay down, I can rest, knowing He's going to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has a pretty good track record. I don't know if you'd agree or not. He has a pretty good track record. He's been good to us. And whenever trials come, we fret, we worry, we fear, because we forget what He has already done.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me how many times God provided for Israel in the wilderness. Yet with each challenge, they would lose their collective minds, thinking that He was going to forsake them then.
Yes.
He would make water flow out of the rock. And then the next time that there wasn't water, they would say, "Let's go back to Egypt. God's going to kill us out here." And then He would provide water some other way.
Mm-hmm.
whenever the food would be low, they would say, we're going to starve to death. We need to figure out some way to fix this. And God would provide food. Mm-hmm. Whenever the enemies would surround, they'd say, oh, no, we're going to get slaughtered. Even though God had delivered them time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. You look at how he brought them out of Egypt, how he put the 10 plagues upon Egypt, how he caused all of those things to happen, how he brought them through the Red Sea and out to the other side, how he revealed himself visibly before them. They even heard his voice from heaven. And then every time there was a minor inconvenience, the sky is falling, we're all going to die. Yeah. Can you relate?
Yeah.
And so whenever we fail to recognize his blessings, when we fail to recognize him as the blesser, when we fail to give him thanks, we forget all of the great benefits, the many great things that he has done for us. And then whenever problems and trials come, we get distressed, we get discouraged, and we begin to fear, and we begin to let our faith be basically destroyed by our circumstances. And so we can't take God's care for granted. We need to pay attention to what he's done for us. We need to remember what he has done for us. Something great God had the people of Israel to do, and you can read about it as they traveled around through Exodus and Numbers and things, is he had them to set up memorials. They come through the Red Sea. They grab 12 stones. They set it up on the bank after they came out. And they said, this is a memorial. This is something we can go back to. There was other times they came through the Jordan, did the similar thing. And there were memorials that were set up at different times that they could come back to. And God even said, the reason I'm doing this is in future generations, your children are going to ask you, why is this here? And you get to remind them of what God's done for you. And that if he's done it for you, he'll do it for them. In 1 Samuel chapter number 7, this is after they've been in the promised land. This is after the judges during the days of Samuel, that they defeated the Philistines and they set up a memorial and they called it Ebenezer. Mm-hmm. And so there's a song that we sing quite often. It says, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. Mm-hmm. You guys recognize the song?
Yeah.
And every time we sing it, and I hear the word Ebenezer, I think of Ebenezer Scrooge and A Christmas Carol. And you guys may not understand why it says, here I raise mine Ebenezer, but the idea comes back to this memorial that they set up. And Ebenezer means, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. It is a testimony. This is what God has done for us, so that they can continue going back for it, or back to it, and saying, God takes care of us.
Yeah.
And so whenever it says, here I raise mine Ebenezer, it means I've got something that I can go back to. There's a memorial I can go back to. I can remind myself of God's goodness. I can remind myself of God's blessings, and I can press forward in faith, knowing God will take care of me.
Yeah.
And so when we recognize what God has done, we respond for thankfulness. We can later recall it to help us rely on God in times of trouble whenever things get hard.
Mm-hmm.
There are several different Ebenezers I can go back to in my life. There's things that God has brought me back, that God has brought me through, that whenever I have difficult times, whenever I have times of doubt and discouragement, there are specific instances I will go back to in my mind and say, I remember when God did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when he brought me through that. I can remember whenever God showed me this. I can remember whenever he moved in this way. And because of that, I can be encouraged. I can be strengthened. I can continue moving forward in faith, knowing that if he did it then, he'll do it now. That he's just as real today as he was back then.
Yep.
And the fifth and last thing that we have here today, whenever we practice thankfulness, it helps us to receive God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us to receive God's goodness. Let's look at in Psalm 95, verses 8 through 11 that we read. It says, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. And so what we have in this last part is a warning. The first generation in the wilderness failed to recognize what God had done for them. As I've already brought out multiple times already, they saw God work in Egypt. They saw his power against the Egyptians. They saw him at the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. They ate the manna. They ate the quail. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of cloud. All of these things that they saw, that they partook of over and over and over again, and they failed to actually allow those to come down into their heart. They failed to allow those to provoke them to gratitude. They took their God for granted. They took his blessings for granted, and they didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. They didn't follow him. They didn't obey him, and they missed out on great blessings because of it. God had a wonderful victory for them. He had something for them to partake of, to enjoy, and they missed it because they failed to appropriate his blessings. They failed to recognize his goodness. They failed to trust in his ability. And I think it all comes back to ingratitude. And whenever we have a grateful heart, when we recognize his goodness, his blessings, the things that come from him, it puts us in a place to go forward by faith, to trust him, to do his will, and receive the benefits of it. And so whenever we look at these children of Israel and the problems in the wilderness, they missed the fellowship they could have had. They brought on lots of problems on themselves, and they failed to receive the victory and great blessings that God had for them. And that's a sobering thought for us today. That whenever we are ungrateful, when we are unthankful, it doesn't just make us miserable, it makes us miss out.
Yes.
And so you focus on the wrong things. You don't see all the great things that God has done for you. You rely on yourself to get you through, and you end up in the wilderness rather than in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too many of us are dwelling in the wilderness, just getting by on scraps, because we are not seeing who God is,
yes,
and what he has done, and trusting him every step of the way. Instead, we're trusting ourselves, depending on ourselves, trying to figure it out ourselves, because we don't recognize we couldn't do it without him.
Right.
And we're where we are because of his goodness.
Yes.
And so you never realize that a thankful heart's so important, did you? Or that being ungrateful could rob you so much. You miss joy, you miss blessings. So I think the greatest blessing that we can ever receive is salvation.
Yes.
And I think it's one of the ones that we take for granted the most.
Right.
Lord saves us. It took, basically, heaven bankrupted itself to pay for your sins.
Yes.
Jesus came down, took on the form of a man, was beaten, abused, was an outcast, was rejected, gave his life on the cross on your behalf, so that you could have salvation full and free. So you could have eternal life. So you could spend an eternity in heaven with him. And then most days, we as Christians live like it was nothing. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles that we could ever receive. One of the greatest blessings that we could ever receive. There's no way that we could ever pay our penalty, purchase our eternal soul. But Jesus offers it freely. And we think because it was offered freely that it came cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. Greatest blessing we ever received is salvation. And so if you've been saved, don't take it for granted. Jesus paid it all so that you could go free. And if you're here today and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure that heaven's going to be your home one of these days when you take your final breath, Jesus has made a way that you may know. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to try your hardest. You have to trust Christ.
Right.
So the greatest blessing you're ever going to receive is salvation of your soul. Jesus paid it all, and we must receive it as a gift, the greatest gift ever given. So if he's given you another day, he's given you another opportunity, don't take that for granted. Today is the day of salvation. We are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
In Romans chapter 10, and verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Yes.
You can receive the greatest blessing today. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, all it takes is realizing you're a sinner. You can't save your soul. Jesus died for you and asking him to save you. It's as simple as that. And so I challenge you today as we close, as I say the final prayer today, what do you have to be thankful for? What kind of blessings have you received? And when's the last time you thanked God for it? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much, Lord, for the word that's before us, for these great truths, Lord. Lord, we've covered so many different examples of both thankfulness and unthankfulness in Scripture. And Lord, unfortunately, too often that I can more closely relate to the unthankfulness, Lord. And Lord, I know that we are prone to ingratitude. Lord, we're prone to take you for granted, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you so much, Lord, that rather than slamming the door in our face, rather than being impatient with us in our ingratitude, Lord, that you continue being good to us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for daily loading us with benefits, Lord. And I thank you most of all for salvation, full and free. And Lord, I just pray, ask you that you would work in our hearts here, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take some time this week to meditate on your goodness, on your many benefits. Help us, Lord, to start looking on the bright side. Help us to start looking at the good things in our life, Lord, and break out of these bad habits of ingratitude and misery. And Lord, I pray most of all, if there's someone here today that don't know you as their Savior, that even now they would call upon you and they'd trust you as their Savior. Lord, that they would quit trusting themselves, quit relying on their own ability or their religiosity or whatever it may be. And Lord, that they would confess their sins and ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we just love you and we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray and amen.